Good morning. If you've got your Bibles with you this morning, if you could turn to Luke chapter 18, and I think the words will also appear on the screen as well. So Luke chapter 18 and verses 1 to 8. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? As human beings, as people, we like stories, don't we? And you only have to turn on your television to listen to stories. We listen to stories, fictional stories, soap operas, dramas. But then we also have the real life stories, the documentaries. What's happened to people? What's going on in people's lives? Now, Jesus was clever because he understood that as human beings, we like stories. And so Jesus was the master storyteller. And if you think about stories, sometimes we have stories for entertainment. Sometimes we have stories to inform us. Sometimes stories are a bit like a mirror that we hold up to ourselves and we see life reflected back and the realities of life. Sometimes we use stories to escape from life. Sometimes stories pull us in and motivate us to change. Now Jesus, as the master storyteller, told stories, told parables. And one writer on the New Testament says that Jesus' parables, Jesus' stories are stories with intent. In other words, they're stories that speak of something beyond their face value. They unveil something of the kingdom of God and the character of God. And Jesus' stories were simple stories, but they intended to teach something. They were intended to communicate something important. So we listen to Jesus' stories, not for the drama, although it's there, you see it in his parables. Not for the entertainment value, although his parables are entertaining at times, but we listen for the message. And Jesus told parables to make us think, to stimulate us to respond. Sometimes his parables can seem obscure. And more than once, Jesus had to ask his disciples what the stories meant. Think of the parable of the sower. And his disciples saying to Jesus, what does this mean? But Luke here in chapter 18 clarifies the meaning of this parable up front. Verse 1 is Luke's introduction. It's not actually part of the parable itself. But he clearly states the meaning and the purpose of this parable. Luke wants to clear up any speculation about the primary purpose of this parable. Jesus told them a parable to say that they should always pray and not give up. That is the intended response of this story of Jesus. Now, this parable comes, if you read the chapter before it, chapter 18 in Luke, it comes just after Jesus has been teaching on the kingdom of God, and when Jesus returns again, and the day of judgment and justice happens. It's a parable which shows that even though the kingdom of God and justice will come one day in all its fullness when Jesus returns, we shouldn't give up now. We shouldn't put up with the status quo till then. God is at work in the world now, even though one day he will put things right completely. Jesus says, pray about what is going on in life, because God will act. And Jesus tells this story, a story that the people that he was speaking to could relate to. People who lived in Jesus' time were aware of the sense of injustice, the sense that only if you had money could you get justice. Can we relate to that feeling today? Perhaps the feelings of powerlessness against big business, feelings of powerlessness against government departments who you're relying on for some help but just don't seem to want to help you. Fighting for what we're owed. And then perhaps the church worldwide who is persecuted. That sense of justice for those followers of Christ who are being oppressed because of their beliefs in Christ. We can relate to this same feeling of injustice and that same sense of injustice today. So we have here in this parable the unjust judge. He is the villain of the story, and you can almost hear the pantomime boos. This judge wasn't concerned about external authority. He wasn't concerned about God. He wasn't concerned about public opinion. He didn't care what people thought. He just did what he wanted, no regrets. This judge is no saint. He violates the command to love God and to love your neighbor from the Old Testament. He is not a great, great guy. I'm sure he's one of those judges where when people went for justice, their hearts sunk when they saw that they got that judge. He is the villain in this story. But there is a heroine. Someone we can applaud. The story of the persistent widow. And interestingly, sometimes this parable is sometimes called the story of the unjust judge. And sometimes it's called the story of the persistent widow. But the persistent widow who kept coming back again and again and again. Grant me justice against my adversary, she says. I kind of get the impression that she was the kind of person who would jump out on the judge around every corner in the supermarket. Hey, judge, I want justice. In the pub when he's sitting down to a nice pub lunch. Hey, judge, I want justice. When he's going to the post office to pick up a parcel, she jumps out at him when he's in the line. Hey, judge, I want justice. She was persistent. But we have to understand what it was like to be a widow in those times. Actually, you were vulnerable in society as a widow. And just as we see through scripture, the orphans and strangers in biblical times were also considered the vulnerable in society, so were the widows. We see that God has compassion on widows, orphans and strangers. The reason why? because this widow had no financial means, no financial support. There was no welfare state in the biblical times. There was no hope of the state giving you money to support yourself when you were down on your luck. And also remember that in the biblical times, that being a widow, sometimes we think about widows today, 60s, 70s perhaps, years old. But actually in the biblical times, it wasn't uncommon for a woman in her 30s to be a widow with young children. You know, this widow wasn't out to make a quick buck so she could enjoy some luxury. She needed justice to survive. But the judge was unjust. He didn't give her the justice that was rightfully hers. And for some time, he just kept on saying, no, no, no. And she keeps on coming back and saying, please, please, please. And as this goes on, we see in the story, the judge begins to think, this is getting a bit serious now. Perhaps I better do something. And so he changes his mind, but not suddenly because he cares. He changes his mind so that she won't come and cause him trouble. Some other translations say that I better give her justice so that she won't eventually come and wear me out. And the New Testament Greek here can have two means. It can mean wear out or wear me down. Or it can mean attack him, give him a black eye. So here he's saying, I better give her justice, because otherwise she'll come and whack me one. Her persistence pays off. She has worn him down. This is a David and Goliath story. But if we stop reading Luke there, we can misinterpret the parable. We can begin to say, God is the judge. We are the widow, and we need to manipulate God into acting through prayer. We need to manipulate God, twist his arm, just like the widow did. That's not the interpretation of this parable. Jesus says, hear the significance of the unjust judge's words. Verse 6, he will eventually give justice to the widow to get her off his back. If he does this as an unjust judge, then what about if you had a just judge? This parable argues from the minor to the major, from the lesser case to the greater case. It's the contrast which is significant in this story of Jesus. We may call God a judge, but he is far beyond the stern, uncaring judge that we see in this story. He is Father. God is a friend of the needy, a father of the fatherless, and a vindicator of those who are oppressed. Jesus' argument goes like this. If this judge, who is no respecter of persons, hears the cry of the widow eventually, how much more will a compassionate God hear the cries of his people? Verse 7, and will not God bring justice for his chosen ones who cry out for him day and night? Will he keep putting it off? You know, we are God's chosen people. Israel was God's chosen people in the Old Testament. He pulled them out of the nations, out of Egypt, to be a nation unto himself. the church in the New Testament, that Greek word in the New Testament for church, ekklesia, means a called out assembly. God calling out his people together as one. We are God's chosen people as individuals, each one of us sitting here today. We are God's chosen people as Woodside Baptist Church. We are God's chosen people as the church globally across this whole world. So won't God then bring the justice that he has promised to his chosen people? God has invested his life and his love in his people. So why wouldn't he bring justice to his people when they pray? God won't keep putting off justice. That's what this parable says. Yes, it may wait for a while, but the day of justice will come for his people. You know, the foundation of this parable is not the persistence of the people of God, but the compassionate character of our God. Our persistence of God as God's people is drawn from the fact that we know we have a compassionate God. That is why we pray. We pray because we have a Father in heaven who loves us and who loves his people. God is the prime mover in bringing justice because he is a God of compassion. You know, Father cares. Father cares about what is going on in our lives as a church. He cares about what is going on in your lives as individuals. Father cares. He cares when stuff is tough for you. He cares when you're going through times of suffering. He cares when justice does not seem to come your way. Father cares. Yes, he cares enough that one day when Jesus returns, he will remake this world. New heavens, new earth. That is the promise. And as followers of Christ, we will be part of that wonder, that kingdom of justice. But yes, he cares enough also to answer prayers for justice now. Father cares. But Jesus in this parable says he doesn't just care, he has the power. He has the sovereign power. He can do it. Our God is not impotent. Verse 8, he will give justice to them. We have a God who cares, and that is why we pray. So our response, cry out to him in prayer now. That is the response that is demanded by this parable. To pray and pray. To keep praying. You know, Jesus, one day when his disciples said to Jesus, teach us how to pray. Jesus taught them that famous prayer that we know so well. Our Father, who art in heaven, using the old language. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Pray that God's kingdom will come. God's kingdom of justice will come for yourself, for the church, for this whole world. Pray just as Jesus taught us. Pray always and not giving up, as Luke says in verse 1. This doesn't mean necessarily mean mindlessly repeating the same words, but always being ready to cry out to God for his kingdom of justice to come, for him to move in our lives and in the life of the church. Our response, cry out to him in prayer. But also, here in this parable, our response is to continue in faith. Verse 8. Jesus says, however, will the Son of Man, when he comes, find faith on earth? It was the call to continue in faith whilst we wait for justice, whilst we wait for God to move. Will we hang in for the long haul with God? Will we stick with God? Even when we're waiting for our prayers to be answered. You know, faith and prayer are interlinked. Why would we pray if we don't have faith in a God who is compassionate? So continue in faith. One day God will vindicate the saints. One day God will put things right. One day God will change our lives, the lives of his church, the lives of everybody in this world for the better. Because our God is faithful. And the only reason we can have faith is because of the faithfulness of God. Otherwise our faith is empty. So there is hope. There is hope that one day things will be different. There is hope for those who are losing hearts. You know, we need to steer the line between doubt that God's vindication is coming and expecting it immediately. We steer that line with faithful patience. Patience in expectance of the ultimate outcome of justice that God has promised in Jesus Christ and will bring to fruition today. You know, the concern of this parable is not to put a date on when justice will come, or even a date on when Jesus will return to bring his kingdom of justice. But the concern of this parable is how we live as we wait for it. That we continue as a people who pray, a people who are full of faith. You know, one writer says that in regard to this parable, that it says that it's all over by the praying. That the outcome is certain. Because we have a compassionate God. Because he will one day bring justice and change this world. In the meantime, we pray and we wait on him. Don't stop praying. Be ready and wait for God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this parable which reminds us that you are the God who cares. That you are the God who is compassionate, who is merciful, who is loving. You are the God who will act for the justice of your people. Who will act in our time of suffering. Who will act in our need. So Lord, help us to be patient in prayer. To be faithful in hope. And to entrust ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.